The title of our message is Defining Marks of Your Life. And we may not be speaking about those defining marks to start off with. We're going to lay a foundation. But I desire that the Lord will bring it all together. I do want to testify. The Lord used something of my past this week that inspired the message, and I need him to continue to use that same inspiration. So I want to start out by speaking a little bit about time. Time never stands still. It has never stood still, but only maybe two times in the Old Testament, but in our mind, time does not stand still. Time from the beginning had its beginning, and it will have an end. We're not necessarily going to be speaking on the end of time, but it will happen. The word of the Lord says it will happen. So as time continues, time is divided into segments. It's divided into the past and the present and the future. And the past segment of time is always increasing. There's more past than there is possibly future. We don't know for sure about our future, but we know about the past. Past is like history. Whatever has happened, maybe it's been recorded, and it is the Bible is history. It is the past. So it's always increasing in measurement and length of time, and I would say in ratio to what we might feel is the future, it is the vast majority of what time has been. And the present, I want you to consider how the present is only but a moment. In other words, I have spoken a few sentences now which took so many seconds or a minute. That's already passed. I cannot go back 1 minute and recall any of the words that I have spoken. So the present is only for the moments that we have today. The scripture says, as far as our goals concerning the future, we do look forward to the future. There are some things, and I'm getting this passage from Philippians, the third chapter. I'll be referring to that chapter. But when I am considering the future, I need to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. So that's one of the things that will indicate future tense. Also in that same chapter, it says that I must be reaching forth unto those things that are before. So those are things that have not been attained. I haven't accomplished those things that I might have in my mind right now for even tomorrow. But I've not attained those things that might be my plans even for the next hour. So pressing and reaching forth are for future things, and we understand that they are yet to be experienced and yet to be attained. But the message this morning, we want to speak on the past. So each of us here, all of us have a past. And one thing that is a blessing from God to all of mankind is our memory. Memory is very important. God gave us memory. And in reality, it can be one of the greatest gifts that God can give. He created the human brain. And I cannot confirm this. I read about the human mind, that it has enough data to store up and to fill, it said, millions of books. Well, they had some proof of that, but I'm not sure that my mind could fill a million books. But I'm thankful that God gave us a mind. And I'm thankful that he has given us memory. Memory is very important every day. In your jobs, in your schoolwork, whatever you are doing, it takes some kind of memory in your mind to even accomplish those things. But as human beings, we remembering the past, what happens when we remember the past? Those good things that we can recall. Oftentimes we will relive events in our life just by remembering. Maybe you might remember the day of your wedding, and that was a special time. And to recall it has some special feelings and emotions because you have a memory of it. And we have memories of when a child is born. There's something very special about that as we develop our families. And so memory can be so precious. And God has blessed us with a mind that we can recall. We can maybe even recall the original feeling that you had on certain events that can be such a joy and a blessing. So our memory can be really precious. And yet, if it's a painful memory or a bad memory, it can be almost like a curse. It can affect us so negatively. Our memories can be positive and our memories can be negative. So I'm going to deal with some things that may seem negative this morning. But I believe that God wants us to handle those things that are not pleasant, as well as those things that can be very pleasant. So when we remember the past, and it might have to do with wounds and hurts and sorrow and grief, it affects us. We can maybe even feel the original emotion of those kind of memories. We can also remember maybe conflicts that we have had in relationships. That can be very painful. And we can feel maybe the feelings that we had when we passed through those places. Broken friendships can be very painful. Can be very hurtful. And I'm not going to be here to testify to experiences, but I believe we've all had something in our past that we could relate to, a time that we had a broken friendship, and it can be painful. Broken vows can be very painful and not pleasant to remember, but it can be part of our past. I'm thinking also that we might have a memory of the sins of our youth. And probably every one of us have memories of when we were young, foolish, not wise, not making all the right choices. And it can be hurtful to remember those things. The feelings that we might get when, well, let me back up just a little bit. The scripture says that one of the purposes of Satan is to be an accuser of the brethren. I believe the enemy loves to bring to our minds those hurtful places, recalling the sins of our youth or the failures that we had in our life. If I was to ask the question, has anyone here not had a failure in their past? I don't believe any of us would be able to say, no, I've never had a failure in my past. So we all can relate, or should be able to relate, to the message this morning, because we all have a past. There are things in the past that we sometimes deal with, possibly over and over. Reoccurring thoughts that come to us that maybe we don't necessarily want to entertain, but occasionally it has to come up and we have to deal with it, we have to work with it, and then we go on. So the feelings that we can have, I'm going to describe them because I know you're familiar with these feelings, but you probably feel guilty. When you think of certain things of the past, you may feel guilt. You may feel shame. You may feel regret. You may say to yourself, and maybe you say it to God, I wish I had never done that. And I wish I could go back. And I wish I could correct that place in my life. But that's impossible. None of us can go back in time. There have been people who have longed to and even imagined that they could possibly go back in time. We have a little scripture that says, speaks about recovering the time. That's a little different than going back in time. There was a story that was written many years ago, fiction. I am not a fiction reader. This was many years ago. I purposed before God to read, he called for it, for me to read only things that were true and wholesome. So this was of another time. I am not a science fiction reader. Never liked it, never understood it. But this story attracted my attention. And the theme of this was they were building a time machine that you could go back. And they wanted to go back in history at the time of Abraham Lincoln's assassination, and they wanted to change that and change the course of history. We cannot change the course of history. We cannot change the course of that which happened in our past. No matter how badly we would like a time machine. At the time, it wasn't long after our daughter was taken, and I longed for a time machine that I could go back to that corner where I turned and had the accident. I would love to have gone back and changed the location that I was. I cannot do that. It's impossible for anything in my past or your past to go back and change anything. But God has a way. Now I'm going to give us some scripture concerning how God looks at our past. You might say, well, I know all of those scriptures. I've never thought of that being an... It is. It's of our past. And the scripture says that if you and I confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What are we dealing with when we confess our sins? We're dealing with the past. We're dealing with things that may be fairly current in our past, and yet God has a way in order to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. So it is the gift of salvation that we are able to work with anything in the past, whether it just be a sorrow, a grief, a disappointment. It may not have to do with sin itself, and yet God has a plan for you and me to work with our past. And another scripture was in Psalms 103, verses 10 and 12, and I count this a very comforting scripture, and it says, we could probably all quote it even, because it's such a comfort to us. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Has God dealt with you? Have you gotten what you deserved, in other words? None of us. God has been so gracious and merciful and kind, and He's not wanting anyone to perish. He's not wanting anyone to be crushed. He wants the best for us. And so He gives us time, He gives us mercy, and He has not dealt with me according to the sins that I committed in my past. Thank the Lord. And then the other part of that scripture says, and don't we use this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed. He removed my transgressions and your transgressions. So that's what He does for us. And then we have Hebrews 8 and 12, and He says, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Do you bank on that?
Yes.
Do you rely on that? But who remembers it? Me and you. We still have a mind, we still have a memory, and we still have a past. Something that was in the past. And yet I have confidence that I have been forgiven of God, or by God, that He has this perfect plan. The shed blood of Jesus has washed away all of my sins, covered my sins, and He remembers it no more. You can recall a sin of your past, and you can go before the Lord today and talk to Him about it. But do you know what His answer would be? I don't remember that. That's His word. He doesn't remember that which He has forgiven in your past. But you might. I might. And it's the business of Satan to vex us and distress our minds of my past. But we can deal with the past, can't we? Or can we? I think that it takes God coming and working with us. Yeah. for our past. So sometimes when you and I are vexed with memories, and that's what the Lord allowed in my life, something that happened 37 years ago. Doesn't matter how many years ago Satan can bring it up. And while it may not have been sin, it was something that you might be embarrassed about. Oh, I was so unwise. Oh, I was so overzealous. I so overreacted. I so used my own opinion. You know, those are things in the past that we can be ashamed of. And have regrets and wish that we can go back and recover. But if we have taken it to the Lord, Lord, forgive me for my unwise actions. Might not be sin. Just might be something that is embarrassing. But it causes pain to remember it. It just causes such a pain in our emotions, in our heart. So what happens when we are vexed with memories? What do we do? That's the question I have written down here. What do we do? Well, I'll tell you something that I owe probably several an apology. You know what the world says? Forgive yourself. Does that sound logical? It sounds logical. I have even said it to people. Well, you need to forgive yourself. But you know, there was I don't believe I have the power to forgive myself. I don't have the power within my personal ability to rise above those vexing thoughts of 37 years ago. I don't have it. But God does. He has the perfect plan for our deliverance, and I wrote this down from Sunday school this morning, believing in the finished work on the cross. What was the work on the cross? It was Jesus, as he hung on the cross, what did he say? It is finished. It's complete. There's nothing we can add to it. There's nothing we can take away from it because it's perfect. It will work for us today in covering our past today. So this morning I will say to you that I don't, because of my experience this week and saying to myself, well, you just need to forgive yourself. God's the only one that can cover this. And it be truly covered. So I'm never going to say to another person, well, you just need to forgive yourself. If God has forgiven you and remembers it no more, he's not wanting to stir our minds and our emotions and our feelings and we're hurting again. He's not that kind of God. He is a God that is wanting us to go forward and not necessarily backward. So I believe that counselors of the world, I know they have. I've read it. It sounded so logical. Well, just forgive yourself and go on and move on. Get past this. There's more to it than that. I believe it's only by the blood, pleading the blood of Jesus. The blood has a perfect cure. Doesn't that say that in a song? Oh, there's so many places in our life that the blood is so valuable and works and does what it's intended to do. It forgives, casts my sins as far as the east is from the west, and remembers it no more. And the blood did that. And then the blood is also to cover my past that I can do nothing about except plead the blood.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for the blood. It can cover my sin. It can cover my failures.
Yes.
How many times have we maybe failed in the same thing more than once?
Yes.
And we're disappointed in ourselves.
Yes.
But the blood of Jesus can cleanse that. So now I want us to consider and look at our title of the defining marks of our lives. I have a scripture in Joel, the second chapter, verses 25 through 27, but I'm only going to read 25 right now. And it says, I will restore to you the years the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. How many years is in your past? Well, depending on how old you are, it's that many years in the past. Have we at times felt like there's been some wasted years? There's a song that even someone got a hold of and wrote, wasted years, wasted years. Oh, how foolish. Doesn't sound very pleasant. But God has a plan. And I'm going to ask you this. The years that the locust ate and the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, all of these, did that define where the children of Israel would go? It's a segment of time in their past. It indicated destruction, utter destruction. Did that define God's plan for them? Yes, he had a plan. He had a purpose. He used it for a time. Don't you know that in our past and the things that we have experienced in our past is for us to learn? It's a school. It's not just to be there to torment my mind and to make me feel such regret and guilt. And it's not there for that. Lord, what do you want to teach me about that in my past? He's a teacher. The Holy Ghost is our teacher. Oh yes, it takes the word of the Lord and opens it up to us, and it teaches us all of those things that will show us the way to heaven. But I'll tell you another thing. He will teach us through our experiences how to really be what he's calling us to be. In reality, all of the experiences of a person's life is part of leading them to another part of their life, to another phase of their life. You don't just go through life haphazardly and never learn anything. We're ever learning and coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's this truth, but we're also coming to the knowledge of the truth of myself. Who I really am. What my personality, how it affects other people. How I can be offensive to them. You ever stop and think about how you might be offensive to others? Or are we so focused on how I have been offended or how I have reacted to their offenses? I believe God is wanting us to understand ourselves more as we live and grow. And I don't think it ever stops. I think that it is ever learning, ever coming to the knowledge of myself, and ever knowing how to condition myself. And by the grace of God, this is not something we just learn all by ourselves, or I can go to take a class. There's people that take classes to learn how to be a better person. This is found by the Holy Spirit. And it's the only way that we can really be tempered and shaped and molded and fashioned into vessels that will not only honor God, but it will be an honor and a blessing to our fellow man, to the congregation, to our families. It is something that God is wanting to use the things of the past to make us better in the present and in the future, whatever future that we might have. So I'm thinking also about the pioneers. You know, we're blessed to not be in a time that they were, when they were barely scraping out a living in the earth, and to look up one day and see a dark cloud approaching. And they're thinking it's a storm, and it arrives and it's locust or grasshoppers, and they are by the millions, and they eat every green thing on the earth. They pass on by and the earth is stripped. Now, did that define what would happen next year? Just because this plague came and destroyed every crop, all of my crops, all of my living, did that define what would happen next year? Next year came. The spring came. The rains came. The green came back. The leaves on the trees. It did not define what the land would produce. It could still produce.
Yes, sure.
Let's relate now that account to our own lives.
Yes.
If we have a past that plagues our mind from time to time, maybe it doesn't every day, maybe it goes for years and doesn't really bother us, but the enemy wants to bring it up. Does that define who you are? If you have did all that you could, I repented, I've talked to the Lord about it, I am sorry, I can't go back, I don't have a time machine, that does not define us. But it can define us positively. I can use it to be positive. I can go to the Lord and say, and you've heard me say this before, being in Walmart. I've told it so many times down through the years. It's a distinctive memory that I have. Because we can have memories of entertainments that we partook of, and they'll just sort of linger around our mind. And I'd be in Walmart, and here's a theme song of a movie that Lauren and I saw. And if I let it, it could bring back the memory of the whole thing. But how I've handled it, I know it's under the blood, but I said, Lord, I still am sorry. Don't you see what that does? That says to the Lord, I still feel the same way. I don't want to entertain that. I believe that the Lord is calling for us to allow the positive things to define us. Define my life. Define the present. Define the moment. And define who I will be whatever time God allows me to have. It's not going to be the negative, hurtful, wounding, sinful memories that define who I am today. I am who I am by the grace of God. I am not who I was. And I've told you all this too. You know, we change in our looks, don't we? Can we not change in our spirit?
Yes.
And in our personality? I'm not who I once was.
Yes.
But I am who I am today. By the grace of God. I've had young people come and, you know, look at our wedding pictures and most of the time the first thing they say is that really you? I don't look like that now. Well, I'm older. But you know, God is wanting us to grow in grace. And not be defined by the failures and the wounds of the past. He wants us to take the positive things and let that define us. Well, there was one person that said this to another person, and they said, well, there was a time I just lost confidence in you because you were not wise. But now I have confidence in you. I've seen you change. See, that's what God's wanting.
Yes.
There could be a time that people might judge each other and say, I know when you acted this way.
Yeah.
But now I don't see that. I'm seeing you're different. So it doesn't have to define who I am by all of those times that I didn't act very wise. So the marks of our past does not have to only be painful memories. It can be positive things that God has done for us. I'm going to go back now to Joel, the second chapter, and I want to go past that scripture of him restoring the years that the cankerworm hath eaten. I'm going to give you a part of verse 26. It says, and he shall, now this is after it's been restored. After the years have been restored by the blessing of the Lord, see? And it says, he shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. God is wanting us to be satisfied with today. Can't change yesterday. I don't have tomorrow. I haven't lived it yet. But he's wanting me to be satisfied. And it says, and my people shall never be ashamed. You know, the Lord bore what he bore on the cross for our shame. Even though I might look at my past and say, I'm so ashamed that I did that. He bore for my shame. And he says, now, my people are not going to be ashamed. Verse 27. And ye shall know that I am in the midst. Makes all the difference in the world when God is in the midst of our life. When he's the one that we're taking all of our burdens to. All of our tears. All of our heartaches. He's in the midst. Thank the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then again it says in the last part of that verse, and my people shall never be ashamed. We don't have to live in shame. God bears it for us and takes away the shame. And now I want to go to Philippians, the third chapter again. And if you will allow me, I want to read some of the verses out of 26 translations. I feel like it will profit us. So we've already talked about pressing toward the mark and reaching forth. That's the two things that's in this passage. But I'm going to include everything now, starting at chapter 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. You know what that means? It means I have not yet reached my goal. Have you reached your goal yet? No, we're still on the road, aren't we? We're still pressing toward the mark. We're still reaching forth. So Paul is saying here, I haven't apprehended my goal yet. And then it goes down and it says, but this one thing I do. And it says, but I concentrate on this. And I'm going to encourage us this morning, concentrate on this scripture. Forgetting those things that are behind. I think we all have to concentrate on when and recognize when these thoughts come up, and they're painful thoughts, they hurt. Concentrate. I'm giving that to God. I'm casting all of my cares upon Him, for He careth for me. That's forgetting. Forgetting those things that you can't change. Paul had a lot of things he had to forget. Painful things. Very hurtful things to other people. He could not go back and change it. He couldn't restore those things himself. But God can. He can restore the years that the canker worm ate. But in the meantime, Paul had to say, I forget those things now. And that's what we've got to do. And then it says, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Listen to another translation of it. It says, and straining every nerve for that which lies in front. Strain every nerve. Really concentrate. I'm pressing toward the mark. And then it says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. And again, it's a strain. We can either be overcome by the enemy, or we can go forward by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood. Thank the Lord. We do not have to be defined by our failures. We can be defined by the positive actions of the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord. That's what I choose. I had a little song that I asked Damon to bring with him today. And I'd like for us all to sing it in closing. And I trust that we will all be encouraged that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I'm going to tell you, not one person here this morning will not experience this at some point in your life. It's just the work of the enemy. But always expect the Spirit of the Lord to lift up a standard against what the enemy is trying to do to tear us down. So, Damon, if you can, would you send that song and let's all sing it. It's that song that Angela... wrote, and I think it just fits the message this morning.
Lord, I lay my burdens at your feet. Every care and trouble that I need. In the past, I tried to be so strong. When the day they teach to grow.